Good morning. We've got a good number present this morning. We have a few visitors with us, though I don't know. I hesitate to call Zach and Aaron visitors. They've just been lost for a little while. Found their way back home for a bit. No, it's good to see Zach and Aaron with us and our other visitors as well. We're grateful for you being here this morning. It is the last first Sunday of the year for the month of December. And so as we examine loving Jesus more, we've gone through so many different ideas and so many different areas of who Jesus is and what He does and the relationship that we have with Him. And I was trying to figure out where I wanted to take us for this last month. And I decided on talking about loving Him more as a brother. I hope that you'll turn your Bibles with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 2. Because in Hebrews chapter 2, we have a couple of passages of Scripture that talk about Him in this way. And you know, when we talk about brothers, or when we talk about brotherhood, we can talk about it in a number of different ways. And we're going to talk about it from a couple of different levels this morning. When you think about the idea of a brother, I have two younger brothers. So I'm very well acquainted with the concept of brothers and of brotherhood. And obviously, as we're going to be talking about some things this morning, we are going to be talking about some areas in more of a general area, because not all brother relationships are the same. Not all of them are of the same quality. Not all of them are going to be of a positive nature. If you'll go back and you'll think about Genesis chapter 4, the very first murder that takes place on the face of the earth takes place between two brothers. Okay? But we're talking about the things this morning that we have in relation to our relationship with Jesus. How He relates to us and how we can relate to Him and how we should be relating to Him in what it is that He does for us and in what it is that we do to Him. When we talk about loving Jesus more as a brother, in Hebrews chapter 2, you have the message behind recognizing that Jesus is more than just our Lord, but rather He is described here as our brother as well. I want you to notice a couple of different verses from this section of Hebrews chapter 2. When you come to verses 11 and 12, it says, "For He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why He is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, 'I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise.'" When we talk about our Lord, we talk about Him as our Savior. We talk about Him as the one who gave it all for us and the one who we serve. But we also have a bond with Him, a commonality with Him. And we've talked about it at various times over the course of this year. Because of the relationship that He has with us and we with Him as flesh and blood. As a matter of fact, you come down to verse number 14, and he says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil." Flesh and blood, just like we are, going through the same things that we do, being one who has felt the emotions and has dealt with the stresses and has gone through the pains that we do in life. And being willing to give His life, being willing to take on flesh and blood, but then to give that flesh and blood so that we might be saved. Verse 17, he says, "Therefore, He had to be made like His brothers in every respect, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. It was necessary, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, for him to become like us in every respect. To be like, as the passage says, his brothers in every way. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, or in Hebrews chapter 2 rather, in these verses we have a discussion of Jesus and the description of him as a brother. Now, here the description is in the sense of he is flesh and blood just like we are. He is a brother to mankind because he is a part of mankind. He is one of us through his birth. But you know, there's also brotherhood that is discussed in another sense when it comes to Jesus. And that is, he is also our brother in the sense of the bond that we have that brings us together. You know, when we talk about our physical families and we talk about the relationships that we have, we talk about being brothers and sisters by means of blood, right? By means of birth. We have the same parents, and so therefore we are together. There are some families, however, that don't necessarily have the blood bond of birth parentage, and yet they are brothers and sisters by means of being claimed by the same parents. We call it adoption, do we not? And yet they are still just as much brothers and sisters, correct? Still just as closely knit together as family. While we have a bond relationship that is built on blood, our blood relationship together through Christ, by means of the blood that was shed for us for the remission of our sins, we also have a bond, as Galatians will talk about, of being made heirs as children and as sons of God that binds us together. We are brethren on multiple levels. But our brotherhood doesn't just consist of a brotherhood between me and you and you and one another. But rather it is a brotherhood relationship that we have with Christ, with our Savior. He is our brother in many different ways. Where I'd like us to spend the balance of our time this morning is I want us to look at some principles of brotherhood and some things that we see in the relationships that, again, as I've already qualified, are supposed to be there between brothers or between brothers and sisters within family. And some things that we see in the relationship that Christ has developed, that our Lord has developed with His people. Then I want us to do some self-analyzing as well. Because one of the things that I want us to understand as we come out of this lesson this morning is that the relationship of brotherhood that we have with Christ is not one-sided. You know, there are a lot of people who will like the idea of having Jesus as a brother. Especially in regards to the things that we're going to talk about. And they'll love utilizing Him in that way. But do you realize that puts a responsibility upon us as well? Because if Jesus is my brother, then guess what? I'm His. Which means the same responsibilities fall upon me toward Him as are upon Him toward me. And so as we examine this morning and we examine this idea of this relationship that we have in a brotherhood with Jesus, we need to recognize it's not one-sided. It goes both ways, like all true relationships do. So let's look at three principles of brotherhood and see how they relate to Jesus and His relationship with us, but also see how they relate to our relationship both with one another and with Him. First of all, when you examine the idea of brotherhood, you see that brothers are friends in the ideal. Now, I had two younger brothers. There were times as children, we were not the best of friends. We didn't really even like each other all that much from time to time. And everybody around us knew it. They could hear the screaming and the yelling and the arguing and the fighting. It happens. But you know, we grew up. And to this day, there aren't two other people on the face of the earth that I know I could go to any faster than my two brothers for anything. And I know that they feel the same way about me. We are friends. We are not just brothers, but we are friends. Now, you know, Proverbs chapter 18, Solomon would talk about in verse 24 that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And somebody says, see, you can have friends that are closer than your brothers. And you know what? Occasionally you might. But do you realize that by the level of comparison, what he's trying to show is that the relationship between brothers is supposed to be so close that there are very few relationships that you're ever going to have that are going to get closer than that? He's not saying your brothers and sisters don't matter. What he is saying is that when you find that relationship that gets even closer than your siblings, it's a special one. And it's a rare one. Brothers are supposed to be friends. They are supposed to be ones who look out for one another. They take care of one another. They cry when one another is crying. They rejoice when another is rejoicing. And just like we have the bonds of blood in brotherhood, there's also the bonds that we build with others. And we say, we have a term that we use among us. We have those that we call family. They are friends who are not blood related, but they're as close as family in many respects. There are friends that you have that are like your own family. They are like your own siblings. I don't have very many of those, but I have a few. And when you have people like that, you rejoice with all of their successes and you go through very hard times when they're hurting. One of my closest friends, we just found out yesterday, lost his father yesterday afternoon. We've grown up together. We've known each other since we were about 4 years old. And we've stayed close for over 30 years. And his father died yesterday afternoon of cancer after a long bout with it. His dad was only 57. And I'll be honest, it's tearing me up inside, knowing what it is that he's going through. You know why? Because we're friends. And there's a bond that's between us. That I can't see him hurt without me going through the same thing. Jesus talks about the importance of those bonds of friendship within brotherhood. Turn over with me, if you would, to John chapter 15 for just a moment. In John chapter 15, Jesus is there on the night of his betrayal. He is in the upper room with his disciples. Judas has already left. Judas has already gone out to betray him. He is here with the other 11 on this occasion. And you notice what he says in John chapter 15, beginning in verse number 13. He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, Jesus says, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Jesus here on the night of his betrayal looks at his disciples and he says, you are my friends. You are those that I've built that relationship with. And there's no greater love that a man can have than to lay down his life to save his friends. Do you see the emotion in Jesus? As he prepares for what it is that he is about to undertake so that his friends might be saved. And yet it's the very same thing and the very same relationship that he strives to build with us. Think back to the statements concerning Abraham and how that Abraham was the friend of God that had built that relationship. Brothers are friends. And it should be our desire. It should be our goal to build our relationship with our love and our concern and our care for our Lord and Savior. Because guess what? He gave it all for us. He gave so that we might be saved. Because of His love and His care and His concern for you and I. Brothers are supposed to be friends. Designed to take care of one another. And along that same line, not only do you have brothers with the design and the designation of being friends, but brothers are also meant to be protectors. You know, it was the case in our house when I was growing up. As I always said, or as I said a few minutes ago, we had times where we disagreed with one another. There were fights. There was roughhousing all over the place. But you know, one of the things that was the case with my brothers and I is we used to... Never actually was said, it was just kind of understood that the only people who were allowed to beat up on my brothers was me. And if anybody else started coming after my brothers, they were going to have to go through me first. Brothers are protectors. They take care of one another. They watch out for one another. They help one another. You know, when you go back to Hebrews chapter 2, what does it state in verse number 14? In verse number 14 it says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, He Himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." What was it that Jesus sought to accomplish by taking on flesh and blood, by becoming like us, by taking on that role of our brother? You know what He did? He did it to protect us. To protect us from Satan. And from the impact that Satan has on our lives. Jesus gave it all to protect us. When you turn back to Romans chapter 5, there in Romans chapter 5 and in verse number 6, there Paul states, "For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." When we didn't have the ability to do anything about our situation ourselves, Christ died for us. You drop down to verse 8 and he says, "But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What was He striving to do? He was striving to protect us. He was striving to save us. Brothers are protectors. They watch out for one another. They take care of one another. But while we often think about the physical side of protection, and certainly, Jesus illustrated that with His death on the cross. You know, there's another way that brothers strive to protect one another. And that is, you don't let anyone lie about your brother. You won't stand for somebody lying about who your brother is or what your brother's done or what he hasn't done when you know the truth. When we talk about our relationship with Jesus, does it bother us when people lie about who He is? Does it bother us when people lie or make false claims or false accusations about what He does or what He doesn't do? Are we willing to stand up for Him before others in the same way that He has stood up for us before Satan? Are we willing to act like a brother to Him in the same way that He has been a brother to us? Would we stand up for Him the same way that we will stand up for our own family, for our physical family, for our physical brothers and sisters? Would you see the same vehemence in defending Him that you would see in defending one of our own? Because guess what? He is one of our own as members of the body of Christ. Brothers are protectors. But in the third place, we see that brothers are friends. We see that brothers are protectors. But when you look at brothers as well and brotherhood and the relationships that are found there, you find that brothers are loyal. Or at least they're supposed to be. Brothers are loyal. They do not leave. They do not walk away when things get hard. They do not quit. They do not give up. But they stand by you. No matter what. You know, when you turn over to Hebrews chapter 13... toward the end of the book of Hebrews, the writer says, beginning in verse 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content in such things as you have, for He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" And then you drop down to verse number 8, and the writer reminds us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How important is it to us to recognize that we have a brother in Christ who's not going to walk off and leave us, not going to turn His back on us, He's not going to change all of a sudden and say, "You know what, I don't like you anymore." That should give us confidence. That should cause us to draw closer to Him. That should cause us to want to build those bonds stronger and stronger as the days go by. Because I know He won't ever turn His back on me. If anybody turns their back, it will have to be me. If anybody walks away, it's going to be me that does it. If anybody says, "I don't care," and leaves, it's going to be me, not him. Brothers are loyal. Brothers do not walk away when times get hard, but instead they stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and they handle it together. They face it together. They deal with it together. We see these types of situations in groups that aren't blood related. You know, we'll see it sometimes when it comes to sports teams and various things of that nature. We'll see it oftentimes. Many of you may have either read or seen the series Band of Brothers that dealt with the unit in World War II. And we oftentimes hear those kinds of terminologies being used. And what's the point? They're loyal. They stick together. They take care of one another. They watch out for one another. They will not leave. No matter what. Why? Because brothers are loyal. Do we realize that in Christ we have the best brother that you could ever ask for? That you could ever have? You can't get better than that. He wants to be our friend. He will be loyal to us all the way through. He will serve to protect us, to watch out for us, to care for us, no matter what. But you remember what we said at the beginning? It's reciprocal. It has to work both ways. It only works both ways. So as you think of your relationship with Christ this morning, yes, it is the relationship of the Lord. Yes, it is the relationship of one who serves with one who has the authority to rule. Yes, it is the relationship to a Savior. But it is also the relationship to a brother. So what kind of sibling are you? Are you the kind of sibling that he can count on? Are you the brother or sister that is going to remain loyal no matter what you have to face? Are you the one who's going to be protective of him? Are you the one who's going to stand up for him? Are you the one who's not going to allow anything to pass that's going to damage or to hurt him? Are you willing to be his friend? You know, we oftentimes sing the song, "I'll be a friend to Jesus." Do we truly understand what that means? It's not calling him buddy. It's actually recognizing what it is he cares about. You know, we talk about rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. Do we understand what it is that makes him happy? Do we understand what it is that makes him weep and respond the same way? Do we, as someone has said, love what he loves and hate what he hates? Can he count on us to be there, standing with him no matter what and no matter who else is there? Because we will be. When we understand the nature of brotherhood, and we understand the description of Jesus as our brother, it should harden in us a resolve to never leave his side. Is that the resolve that you have? Do you need to respond to his invitation, whether it be in bringing your life to him, to be willing set you aside to be what he wants you to be by believing on him, repenting of your sins, confessing him before men, and being immersed in water to have your sins washed away? Or maybe it requires you loving him more and being just as devoted to him as he is to you. We can help you in any way, whether it be praying for you, encouraging you, strengthening you, helping you to be obedient to him. And you need to respond right now. Why not come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?